So this morning, we get to continue. Our sermon series that we've been doing, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer this morning. And as we continue to look through and to explore the Lord's Prayer, we've been working through and we've explored this this prayer that we've been given by Jesus that He gave His disciples and to us, and this prayer that. That shows us how we ought to pray. And it's how we ought to pray in order that our lives should be shaped and formed around the coming of God's kingdom, the person of Jesus, and the work that He's doing. So again, if you've been joining with us and following along as we've been working through, we looked a couple weeks ago at the first little bit of the prayer, and we unpacked what it means to say that God is our Father. Our Heavenly Father who cares for us and loves us intimately and deeply, and who invites us into this deep relationship to come before Him and to pray to Him. And then we unpacked last week, and we looked at the idea of the kingdom, and if as we pray and as we seek and come before God, that we seek His kingdom would come on earth right now as it is in heaven. That we would be the means by which His kingdom would come and that He would use us in that. And this morning, we get to look at the next section of the prayer, and this is the next section for praying for daily bread. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. But before we get into unpacking daily bread and some more about that, I don't normally do this, so if I'm a little bit uncomfortable, just bear with me. We're going to do this. I have a question I'm going to ask you guys, okay? And I'm going to give you a couple minutes. I want you guys to talk about it with a couple people around you just for a couple minutes, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about what answers we kind of came to, and then we'll get into the text a little bit more, okay? Okay. Like I said, this is weird for me. I don't normally do this much engagement, but that's okay. The question would be, what are some things that people worry about? It's not a hard question, but just take a couple minutes now and just talk with the people beside you and see what you come up with. Okay, so what are some things that that you guys came up with? What are some things that that people worry about? Health. Yeah, health is a huge one. I saw the hand go down. That was probably a pretty common one. Yeah. Finances. Absolutely. Absolutely. Family. Yeah. Finances, future, family. Yeah, those are really big ones. Shelter. Yeah, provision. Our needs being met. I know food would fall in that category too. Yeah. Any other ones? Work, yeah. A sustainability for our lives, in a way. Yeah, I saw a hand go up back there as well, I think. Yeah. Sometimes people worry about their standing with God and their relationship with God. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, our perception, that's a big thing. Maybe we don't always want to admit that, but that often is a big worry, right? Our perception that people have of us. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure I'm not the only one who time to time worries about the state of our world and what's going on. It's a wild and crazy place out there. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So we get to explore this morning this idea of daily bread, and part of our prayer we come to. And there's a question, I think, as we look at this question of, like, what does it mean to pray for daily bread? What is daily bread? There's a few questions we'll look at, which I think will be helpful to ask us, or to ask as we sort of explore this idea, as we explore this part of the prayer. And so I want to just look for a minute, like, what's significant about bread? If this prayer is meant to be for a model for us as to how we ought to pray, the means by which we pray, then why ask for bread? Because, I mean, like, so Kayla makes really good bread, for example. I was thinking about this. Like, why ask for bread? I mean, unless somebody can make bread better, which maybe they can. I don't know. It'd be hard to beat that. But why bread, right? And so bread is this bread's something really interesting where it's actually a really big image that comes up throughout all of the Bible at different points at different times. Bread is found both the image of it and the idea of it where it's talked about. It's found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word bread itself occurs about 330 times in the Bible as a whole, ish. And in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, about 240 times. In the New Testament, about 80 references. Bread was like this, just this common, typically this common staple food that people would eat. Keeping in mind that the Bible was written over a long period of time, over many kind of different time frames, but throughout all these time frames, typically bread was seen as just a staple food, or as an image to represent food as a whole, like a meal, or the sustenance, the daily things that we need. But it's a word that has such a wider range of meaning as it's used in the Bible. So, for example, you have bread as an image by the biblical authors is used as an offering to God. It's actually like physically an offering that's given to God. Bread also represents the presence of God himself in the tabernacle and in the temple. There's a point in if you read through the really heart-throbbing chapters of the building of the tabernacle in Exodus, you see that there's a place where they're instructed to build a table and to set up a table where you would have a meal, and there's the bread of the presence. And it's supposed to represent the presence of God himself being there, in a way. Bread represents the unity of a group. Sharing bread with strangers and guests throughout the Bible is a symbol of hospitality, generosity. And then we move to the New Testament, of course, and you see the big one, right, that bread is an image and representation of Jesus himself. We see that bread represents, specifically, it's identified, bread is identified with Jesus' body. Bread represents the coming of God's kingdom and what God's kingdom looks like. Bread in the sense of eating, partaking in a feast together, partaking of bread. And bread represents the unity of the church. Paul talks about the unity of the church, and he uses this analogy of bread. Really fascinating. So there's a number of ways in which this idea of bread is more than just food. It's something a little bit bigger. It's something a little bit deeper. And so based on these things and a number of other things, the way that the Bible uses bread as an image, and I think this some of these ideas will help us to understand a little bit better as we explore what it means to pray for daily bread. And we'll see as we go, we'll see there's kind of, if we look at daily bread, we'll unpack it in kind of two particular areas or two aspects of what praying for daily bread means. And we'll look at what that means for us. But I want to narrow in a little bit on this phrase daily bread. It's a really interesting phrase. You could read any English translation of the Bible, pick up any one, it doesn't matter. And I think all of them. I'm going to say all of them. There might be a new one that I haven't found that does it differently, but all of them will say, give us this day our daily bread. But it's actually really interesting because in the Greek, in the original language, it doesn't say daily bread. It actually says, give us our bread for tomorrow. Bread for tomorrow. And it's a complicated phrase, and it's kind of difficult to sort of figure out in exactly what it means, but lots of people smarter than me have decided that they're going to go with daily bread, and that's how we're to see it. And this phrase, as people have tried to understand it and connect it to our lives, we see, of course, what makes the most sense is it's about, it's this idea of providing for our daily needs. Bread as a staple food, representing the idea of just food itself and sustenance for our lives, the idea of having our physical needs met. And this is largely a significant way how bread and the image of it is used, food and water in general, again, but more than being just an image for that, it's also an image for things like hospitality. When we think about our practical needs, it's also an image for generosity, shared meal together, shares meals together. And so as we look at the first way that we kind of unpack what it means to pray for daily bread, we see that a prayer for daily bread is a prayer for today. A prayer for daily bread is a prayer for today. Praying for daily bread is a request that God would provide our basic needs. The needs that we require for life in every moment we find ourselves, for flourishing. It's asking him to provide things like good health, like nourishment, like food, shelter, safety, security, all these things that we tend to worry about. These are all things that you guys brought up, but these are the kind of things that this is the kind of things that we're asking for when we're asking for daily bread, for provision of goods. But beyond some of these, there's also the other element in our daily lives and in our prayer, in praying for today, that we can even come and ask for daily bread, where we ask for things like God's provision of wisdom, God's provision of peace, God's provision of his presence, his protection. We do this all as we come and we seek him and we bring our requests to him, our prayers to him. Praying for daily bread is a prayer for the intervention of God in our day-to-day lives. Moment to moment, hour by hour, from waking to sleeping, asking and inviting the intervention of God in our day-to-day lives. But what's interesting is that Jesus presents this as the form in which we ought to pray. But I think, you know, and we talked about this, worry, right? We get plagued by worry, and sometimes, even though this is how we should present our lives, coming and seeking these things and asking for these things and saying, yeah, God, meet my needs, knowing that he will, sometimes we get stuck and we actually end up living out kind of the opposite sometimes, where instead of asking in faith and in trust that God will provide, we strive. We seek things on our own. We do things our own way. And this is a struggle that we all face, myself included. And it's a struggle that is not new. It's a struggle that is part of being human. It's a struggle that has existed since the very beginning of humanity, right? Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve in the very beginning, he placed them in the garden, and he set them out in the garden and set them parameters and said, go forward, be fruitful and multiply. Go live into this wisdom, into this life that I've given you. Here's how you can do it, and I will provide, and I will give, and you will have everything you need. And what did they do? They, instead of trusting in this wisdom that God promised to provide, they chose their own wisdom, they chose their own way, they chose to strive for something not as good. And so, we're invited here, as we think about praying for daily bread, we're invited to pray in this way, as Jesus says, asking for daily bread from the Father. And we ask in light of this difficulty that we have to strive, to do things on our own, in light of the difficulties that we face with the worries that we have, the striving and the worry that you know, are we going to have enough? Am I going to be safe? Are my loved ones going to be taken care of? And against this, daily bread is a prayer and invitation to trust God to provide our needs, to meet us where we're at, to trust that he is good. So that's the first thing that we see, is that praying for daily bread is a prayer for today. It's a prayer for today. Along with that, we also see in praying for daily bread that praying for daily bread is a prayer for tomorrow. This is the second sort of element of praying for daily bread. Over the history, as Christians and people have tried to look at this phrase daily bread or bread for tomorrow, however you want to look at it like that, there's a perspective that many thoughtful and great Christians and wonderful people have taken. Again, where they've acknowledged what we've talked about, this idea of daily bread being a focus on our provisions, a focus on meeting our physical needs, where we are, and recognizing this, but also recognizing that on top of that, there is another layer. There's something a little bit deeper as well that impacts and that helps us to understand or helps us to live and pray in this way. And that is that daily bread is a prayer for tomorrow. It's in keeping consistent with the previous sections of the prayers that we've looked at where we've prayed for, we're seeking this maybe if we say bread of the coming age, right? We pray, the last section of the prayer was, Father, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Through this prayer, we're seeking our physical needs and our right now needs here and now, but we're also seeking something so much bigger, so much greater. There's something else. And so for if we look at Jesus' life just for a moment, I think this helps us too, because we see that Jesus, as he moves on from here, if we go further ahead in the Gospels a little bit, he uses this idea of bread, of table fellowship, of sharing a meal together, sharing bread or food. And he uses, this image comes up a lot. In Luke 14, Jesus is sitting, invited to sit at a table to share a meal with Pharisees. And the conversation over a dinner that they're having comes up of who's accessible, who's able to come to the table, who's valuable enough to come to the table. And Jesus goes on to teach about this idea of the great banquet, the great banquet, and a reordering of structures, and he does all kinds of cool things. But the idea is that the coming of God's kingdom, his future coming, the presence of God with us is described as this great banquet, where we share in a meal together, we participate in eating bread. Kind of interesting. Again, if we continue to look, if we look further into the Gospels, even in John, there's a passage where Jesus feeds the 5,000. What does he feed the 5,000 with? Do you guys remember? And he feeds 5,000? Bread and fish. Yeah. Okay, you guys are noticing the theme. That's good. I'm hoping you guys are kind of keeping up. That's great. I don't want to put you guys to sleep. I know, that's all. I know it's kind of, it's cold and it's early, but yeah, he feeds the 5,000 with bread and fish. And then there's this interesting thing that happens in John chapter 6, which is this passage where there's this expectation that the people present as they're talking, anticipating, waiting of coming of Messiah. So John chapter 6, verse 30 says, "The people asked Jesus, 'What miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?' And then they said, 'Our forefathers, our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he, that being God, gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Okay, so they come and the people are looking at Jesus and he's been presented to the people, or the people are looking at him and saying, okay, is he the expected Messiah, the one who's going to come? And they have this expectation of the Messiah and this expectation that the Messiah would bring bread. This is interesting. The people now, as they have this expectation, are thinking back to their history. They're thinking back to the book of Exodus. In chapter 16, you have this really cool story in the book of Exodus where the people of Israel are wandering in the desert. And what does God do? He provides manna. He provides bread. The later writers of the Bible go on to say it's bread from heaven. It comes out of nowhere. It comes with the dew in the morning. And it goes away. It's this miraculous provision of bread. Okay? And this is the expectation that the Messiah, when he comes back, would provide bread in the same way that Moses provided bread. Because the Messiah, the one to come, would be the greater Moses, would be the one who would do far greater, who would be far greater. And they're like, okay, just give us a sign. Give us bread. This is what the people are expecting. But they're not just asking for, like, physical bread, right? We see they're not just asking for bread because they're hungry. They're asking for bread because they have this hope and this longing for a spiritual provision in life to come in the world. One that would ultimately come through Jesus. But this is what they're longing for. And so now we know, of course, that Jesus is the one, this Messiah figure, the one who would come, who would be greater than Moses, who would bring true bread from heaven. And so as we kind of put these pieces together and look at how all these sort of work together, we have to see that as we pray for daily bread, bread for tomorrow, we're praying that we might share in the future blessing and provision that God has in store for our world, both physically and spiritually. Again, praying for daily bread is a prayer for tomorrow, an invitation for God to intervene in our world, here and now, in all the things going on. But again, we've talked about this, right? We mentioned we're concerned. People are concerned about the state of our world. And people are concerned about what's going on. And they're striving for peace, looking for hope, looking for an answer. And it's so easy for us to miss this. And we can look at the world around us and we can look at these things. We can look at the political tensions and upheavals that are going on in other countries. We can look at the wars and the conflict and the tension over people, over political issues. We can look at just disastrous events. I mean, I saw there was, earlier this week, I saw a story about how there was a mine that collapsed in Africa. And there were people trapped inside. Or you hear about stories about fires and destruction and people losing everything. Even in our own country, in California, but also in our own country. It's incredible, right? It's almost too much to handle. And if we sit with this, and it's almost too much to the point where we're really tempted to just bury our head in the sand, to just forget about it all, forget about the pain and the hurt and the violence and the chaos and the unknown and the evil that we see, and to just forget about it. But it's against this backdrop that we see more clearly, I think, this prayer for daily bread as an invitation, again, to pray for and to invite the coming of God's presence into all areas of our world. Into all areas of our world. Both spiritual, both physical. Both here now, but also as a whole. Right? This is the idea of praying for daily bread. When we pray for daily bread and we think about it as a prayer for tomorrow, it's asking and seeking God's presence. And what it ultimately is asking that we would be able to get a glimpse right now of the future rule and reign of Christ, of the future blessing that he has in store for the world. And this is part of the reason that we meet together like this. This is part of the reason that we come together and we celebrate communion. It's part of the reason that communion is such a big thing. We come and we eat the bread and the wine, the bread and the juice. The bread that represents the body of Christ. And it's an anticipation of him coming and of all that he will do to set all things straight. Right? This is why we do this. And so as we do this, we anticipate the coming age. We anticipate this coming feast that Jesus talks about, that he presents for us. Now, in all these things, in all of this, because this is very broad, I realize I've taken you lots of places. But again, I want you to remember that prayer for daily bread is a prayer for today, and it's a prayer for tomorrow. And as we think about those two things, we can't forget the reason in the midst of all these details and all these things, all these directions we could sort of go and things we could look at. We can't forget the reason why Jesus taught his disciples to pray in this way. The purpose of the prayer is ultimately that it's formational, that it would change something in us, in our prayer life, in the way that we approach God in prayer, but also that it would change our life as we come and our prayer life is changed and formed, but then also our life is formed as a result as well. Prayer is more than just a powerful tool to achieve outcomes. It's more than something just intended to, it's more than just a structure that we come and say, or more than something we do. And as we pursue God and pursue his presence and pray for daily bread, it's what we've been looking at over the past 2 weeks. It's seeking God's heart. It's coming before God, who is our Heavenly Father, who loves us and wants to have this intimate relationship with us. It's orienting ourselves to become a part of his plan for the restoration and renewal of all things, to be a part of the kingdom come. And it's orienting ourselves to see that he is good, that he is generous, that he will provide. That he will provide for our daily physical needs, but also for the bigger needs, the needs that our world has as it cries and as it groans and seeks what the future has in store. Formational. If we pray in this way, we focus on these things. The goal is formation. So, the question becomes then, how does this prayer form us? How does this prayer form us? And there's four ways we'll talk about just quickly in ways in which this prayer forms us as we pray and as we live and serve and follow Jesus. And the first one is this, that praying for daily bread forms us. It forms us to be people who have confident trust in God's goodness and generosity. Praying for daily bread is realizing that we don't need to strive, that we don't need to worry, that we don't need to hold on so tight to these things, because we can know and be confident that God will provide for all our needs. Now, that's not to say we don't need to try or we don't need to do anything. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we can hold these things a little bit looser, and we can leave a little bit more space and allow God to show up and allow God to work in our hearts and to orient us to him, to see him as the giver of all of our needs, as the peace for all of our worry, to see him as the one we truly need. So that's the first one, that it forms us to be people who are confident and trust in God's goodness and generosity. The second thing we see in how this forms us is that prayer for daily bread forms us to be people who reciprocate the grace of God to others. When we look at God's generosity to us, his goodness to us, his provision to us, and we realize his graciousness, the more we realize that, the more we should be moved, the more we ultimately are formed to be moved to reciprocate that grace to others. To realize that God meets our needs and that we can go out in as he meets our needs and go and give that same thing to others, to aim to meet their needs through the love and the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit given to us by God. So that's the second thing, that praying for daily bread forms us to be people who reciprocate the grace of God to others. The third thing is this, that prayer for daily bread forms us to be people who confidently trust in God's sovereignty. We confidently trust in God's sovereignty. This means that we have this confidence rooted in God, that he's in control over all the details. That he, being the God who made all things, who spoke and made everything, holds the world in his hand. If we think about that. God has provided a way in which to bring life and life to our broken and chaotic world. And we can give that to him and rest in that hope and trust in the provision that he will bring in bringing life and light to our world. So that's the third thing. We're formed to be be people who confidently trust in God's sovereignty. And then the last one, and this I think is the most important one, is that we praying for daily bread forms us to be people who seek after Jesus. Forms us to be people who seek after Jesus. Earlier, I read from John chapter 6, and a little bit later, after what I read, Jesus responds to the people about this sign for daily bread, and he says in John 6:35, he says to them, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." This is his response. It's through Jesus that ultimately that we experience this formation that should come and that we're looking for. And we experience, again, this formation on seeing this on a personal level, on a here and now in our own lives, but also like a big picture on a cosmic level. In the grand scheme of what's going on in the world, even what we know about and what we don't know about, we experience this. There's an experience of this formation as well. God is at work through Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he is forming us and forming our world. And so in praying for daily bread, what we're actually at the core of it, what we're striving for and what we're seeking is the person of Jesus. What we're looking for and asking for is for Jesus, the one who came to earth, God in human form, the bread of life, the one who perfectly provides for all of our needs and sustains all of our lives, the one who gave his life so that we can participate and be a part of God's future blessing to come on this earth. This is why we pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." So as we close, I'm going to invite you to stand again, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And what we're going to do is we're all going to pray the Lord's Prayer together in closing. And we're going to do it together. We'll pray, and then we'll sing a song to close after that. So if you guys would stand, and let's pray this prayer together that Jesus gave for us. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Disciples, pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.